他们漂洋过海而来，成了当地的居民。这趟旅程曲曲折折，似乎看不到终点。但事实上，无论是偶然或是巧合，他们总是不断地改变自己，不断地改变自己才能活下来。多半的时间，你根本不会注意到他们。他们有着很多的特质，适应力佳，耐旱也耐湿。他们居住于地表之下，匍匐蔓延出自己的领土，一座座地下的宫殿。他们无需有性交配，只需自体繁殖。他们的生命有时候会被轻视，有时候会被低估。在历史的长河里，也曾出现许多的面貌。在一趟漫长的旅程中，他们终于抵达了远方的小岛，一座有着相同的气息、相仿的精神、有着相同轮廓的小岛。这小岛有着不凡的生命力与自然景观。他们最初不知道该叫它什么，只能称呼它做“哦，美丽的岛”。他们决定在这里生存下来，决定在这一代一代的活着。你们知道他们的旅程有多遥远吗？据说最早他们出现于玛雅文明当中，哥伦布发现了美洲后，他们就一起旅行来到了欧洲。哥伦布将它献给了西班牙女王伊莎贝拉。后来西班牙的水手又将他们旅行至殖民地吕宋，今天的菲律宾。但到了菲律宾后，距离这个远方的小岛还是有些距离。他们究竟是怎么来到这个哦，美丽的岛的呢？到目前为止，有很多的说法，而这些说法在后来都印证是有相当的可能性的。例如，当时这个哦，美丽的岛是属于太平洋上的南岛语族，他们互动非常的紧密，所以当时很有可能就是随着黑潮南洋登陆而来。另外一个说法是，欧洲人当时热爱冒险，船难的时候搁浅就会待下来。特别是在16、17世纪的时候，往返哦，美丽的岛的附近的船只很多，因气候或海流，有时会有船难发生。但一旦他们成功登陆哦，美丽的岛后，便能落地生根，很可能因此，就是这个原因，漂流到哦，美丽的岛上。也有一种说法是，临近哦，美丽的岛旁边有一块很大的大陆，是从那里过来的。他们在这哦，美丽的岛生活相当的惬意，顺风顺水的，开垦壮大自己的势力，遍及整个小岛。他们的地下城池，从沙地到平原，从丘陵到深山，你都能看到他们的足迹。他们有些共同的语言，这些语言创造了他们的记忆。例如，将他们洗干净、去皮、切成滚刀块或者是片状，放入传统电锅或蒸笼里面，蒸到筷子能够轻松穿过时，立即取出，加入糖以及树薯粉，用压泥器或者是饭匙将所有的材料搅拌在一起，成为松散的块状。等到温度下降后，再用手揉匀，成为适当不粘手的面团。将面团分割，搓成自己喜欢的形状。之后准备一壶水，将水煮滚之后，把这些分割的面团加入。等到再次煮沸时，就会看到它已经浮起来了，可以直接拌入冰糖或砂糖。在那之前，他们不知道自己的名字。在那之后， 他们把自己称为罕吉。此外，他们还有很多的名字：甘薯、地瓜、红薯、白薯。他们在历史上不同的时期相继登陆这座远方的小岛。他们是外来者，但又感觉到自己属于这里。当他们离开这里的时候，去其他地方冒险时，也自称自己是罕吉。那外形，那气味，虽然都是外来的，但他们在这里找到了归属的感觉。
Hello，
Hello， 你好。
哎，大家好，我是尚志。Hello，
啊，Nice to meet you。
哎，那你是从哪里来的？
我本身是马来西亚人，可是，在来台湾之前，我在新加坡住过了大概30年。那在这段时间，期间我有在广州住过一年，然后我有在韩国有住过一年。对，所以基本上我有到过好多国城市，然后国家有去了解他们的文化。对，然后在台湾已经大概住了六七年了。
哇、哦，Asian expert，
那你为什么会来这边啊？
其实开始我到台湾的时候，大概10年前有一个活动。那因为我自己的公司嘛，我们是在做一个品牌。那当时我在新加坡的时候，认识一个台湾朋友，那他就说有一个电影，有一部电影很适合跟我们的品牌合作。那就邀请我们来说，哎，不然你们来台湾跟这部电影合作，那做一些活动。那我就飞来了嘛，我飞来做了办了一个活动之后，我发现，哎，在那个大概一个礼拜的时间，慢慢的了解台湾的文化、台湾的人、朋友们，然后发现说，哎，其实这个环境是很适合我的。它不只是适合我，它也适合我的生意，我的梦想，然后我自己的事业以外的一些活动，我觉得它非常适合我居留的一个环境。那时候我发现说，反正在新加坡已经30年了嘛，那人我觉得都是要一定要不同的，不停的去尝试新的东西。那新加坡30年了，要玩的已经玩尽了，要利用的已经利用完了。我想说，哎，一个新的环境，可能对我来说，下一步我的人生，它会给我更多的灵感，更多的一个更新的一个平台，去发挥我自己的想法，我自己想要做的事情，一切我自己的人生，我的事业，我个人的生活。所以慢慢的，我是用一步一步的，从一个月来4-5天，慢慢到一个月一个礼拜，慢慢一个月两个礼拜。然后我总共花了大概3-4年的时间吧，才把自己移到台湾来，就是定居下来。现在几乎就算是住在台湾。对。
I see. Can you tell us about your daily life here?
Basically, because I'm an entrepreneur myself, so in a sense, I have a lot of time planning my own time. So I'm quite a disciplined person. So in that sense, you know, I don't spend time just, you know, sleeping and anything. But I do a lot of expression in terms of partially, of course, my own business, meeting clients, meeting partners, and looking for opportunities to collaborate. But another part of my life, because I'm very much involved in activism work. And as everybody knows, Taiwan is the first and the most open in terms of gay activism work in the culture in Asia. So I'm very much involved in gay activism work for the last 20 years. So in a sense, I also express myself in terms of getting to open up more opportunities in terms of two part, the pink dollar part, which is more business part, also the activism part, which is more social part as well. So I found Pink Lab, which is the monthly gathering of business opportunities and entities in Taiwan. When we have topics, we share every month, coming together and then socializing. So another part of me also developing the social life of a man above 40, because as we know, a lot of people are focusing on, you know, young and cool, but we all are growing older. We are not growing younger in a sense. So I focus on that part. Of course, focusing on gay men above 40 years old, developing platform and, you know, gathering of resources to grow all together in a sense. Yeah.
I mean, how's the situations of this kind of communities, gay communities in Malaysia compared to here?
I think probably I'll bring in Malaysia and Singapore together, since I spent 30 years of my life in Singapore, even though I'm a Malaysian. Pretty much the same, I think, because of course Malaysia is a lot closer in a sense because of the language and of course the religion part of it as well. Singapore being a more open country, but as we all know, that is not the focus of the country. To open up, you know, a more a left-wing kind of, you know, in terms of resources and opportunities. So the very much different. I think Taiwan is the most open in terms of, you know, gay culture in Asia. Definitely we know. And with the openness of the 24th of May, the legalized gay marriage just about a month ago, I think compared to Singapore and the rest of the country, even, you know, the rest of Asia, definitely in terms of the way we live our life, daily life, the way we socialize with people, the way we do business as well. Because once we legalize gay marriage, of course, the next part of it will be we are talking about pink dollar. We are talking about making money, because now that you can get married, the next part is how to make money, how to grow, how to move on in your life. Yeah, very much different. I think opportunities as well. It opens up a lot of opportunities as well in many ways. Yeah.
Hey, today we bought some snacks, and then perhaps actually we bring some sweet potatoes for you, and maybe I don't know. Let's find a way to eat.
Okay.
Together.
Sure, thanks.
Normally, how do you like to eat? Do you like sweet potatoes?
two things. I told my friend recently that there's a part of me that is already part of my life to be disciplined in, even in my intake of my food. I think a lot of my friends probably will hear a lot of, you know, especially in the gay community, people talking about, oh, I never have enough time to go to the gym, or my body is not beautiful enough, I'm not strong enough, I'm not muscular enough. And that hasn't been a part of my life in terms of putting in my conversation to tell people about this. But then again, the discipline part of my life is that, for example, even though I know that I love snacks, but I try not to put too much snacks at home, because once I have it, I want to eat it.
I see.
In that sense, I don't buy. In that sense, okay. Right? Also, I when I want it, then I'll go and buy it. So in that sense, it has been a part of my life to be disciplined enough not to have it, even though I love it. So in that sense, it's not a struggle. Like a lot of people say, oh, you know, you have to struggle not to do something, struggle to do something.
I see.
But it has been a part of my life, you know, to be healthy in that sense. I don't focus on it a lot in my conversation, but then again, I realize that it has been a part of my life. Yeah.
Yeah. 但现在这个地瓜是生的。 我刚刚突然想，我就在想说， 还是我们来想想看有什么地瓜料理，或者是
这个很特别。 最近我看到一个视频， 就像刚才讲的， 这个视频是他教人怎么从地瓜 把它变成 potato chips 这件事情。 对，他这个视频是这个一个男的一个女的在看电影，在家里看电视， 就吃那一包 potato chips 吃完了之后，然后那个女生她要再继续吃的时候已经没有了嘛，然后就想了一个点子，怎么样去准备 最所谓的这个 potato chips， 他就从家里冰箱里面拿了一个地瓜，把它切成片，然后摆在那个烘那个摆在那个烘面包机里面，把那些切片把它弄成脆，对，就变成 potato chips 这件事情。对，我印象特别深刻，我因为我刚才有提到嘛，我特别喜欢这样的东西，所以如果你问我，可能要这样试吧，把这个地瓜变成 potato chips， 我觉得蛮好玩的。对，
那 Henry 呢？
For me， I personally like the boil or kind of steam one。Yeah, kind of simple, and then it reminds me of my childhood because my mom and then my grandmoms always cook like this.And then I just eat it like that. Yeah.
Oh, without putting anything like
without putting
sugar
anything.
Or no. Usually they like to
salt.
You know, yeah, together with sugar or salt.
No, for me,
no?
it's just not like in, plain.
Not, okay.
Yeah. Mm. Or maybe they use sometimes they put this in the rice cooker, and then we just eat it from that. Yeah. Right.
Okay.
我其实从小到大都蛮不喜欢吃地瓜的，
是因为。
就觉得它很有一个土的味道，
嗯嗯，
地瓜叶或地瓜都很有一个
土的
味
道，是。
然后那个土的味道，或那可能是淀粉，
了解，
就让我不是很，但我蛮喜欢吃地瓜圆的，
嗯，
地瓜球，
地瓜球、
yeah.
或者是地瓜做的那种芋圆，
kind of more like a dessert。
Right. 所以你不喜欢原汁原味的地瓜吗？你喜欢把地瓜已经变成其他产品
了，变成其他产品。
对，
對但最近又这样，就便利超商开始卖地瓜之后，好像偶尔还是会吃一下，想要自己很幻想自己很朴素的时候，就会想要吃一下，就是想要变成 Henry 的时候，就可以吃一下。
其实我对这个产品没有太多的感觉，因为。对我来说，地瓜它是一个，你问我说，如果摆在那边，我不会想要去吃。对，可能一部分是它会让你很胀嘛，因为它是淀粉嘛，所以它不是我如果说提到说，哎，你想不想吃地瓜，我应该不会说要想吃的一种食物。对，对，你知道台湾常常有嘛，在那个捷运站旁边摆一个摊，然后
对。
对、对，我很少，应该几乎好像没有吃过。
好，我们今天时间差不多。
Yeah, we about time right now.
Thank you so much. Yeah,
谢谢尚志。
我也谢谢。
Thank you, 尚志。